Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what do we have here today, Den?
All right, so one of the things we're keeping our eye on, Dan Quinn's going to talk after our show today. You don't love it when he talks before our show, but we're going to find out today whether or not Brian Robinson is going to be good to go on Thursday. Now, he's alluded to with various interviews and social media that he was very close to going this past weekend against Pittsburgh. So I'm a little optimistic that we're going to see number eight on the field in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it would be huge. I don't think that it discounts or eliminates the possibility of them being productive on offense without him. In fact, in some ways, even though Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, etc., Zach Bond, by the way, number 53, as Merrill talked about, has had an unbelievable season. What a free agent grab he was in the offseason for Philadelphia. But in some ways, I think they needed him even more against Pittsburgh than Philly, in part because you really can't be one-dimensional against Pittsburgh. I'm not saying it's healthy to be one-dimensional against Philadelphia either, but I wonder if, off of Sunday, if Brian Robinson Jr. couldn't go tomorrow night, if Rodriguez would be used more. I don't know, but it would be great to have him back. He's had some good games against Philadelphia, that's for sure.
Yeah, he really has. We talked about this yesterday. He was very clutch in that game a couple of years ago where they went in on Monday Night Football and beat them. Did you watch any NBA last night by chance?
I didn't. I actually watched Cooper Flagg last night for the first time.
Ah, future wizard. How was he?
Future wizard. He's really good. He's really good. I want to see him more as the season goes along. I think I was expecting a little bit more explosiveness, but very good player. Really, really good player. Transcendent player, Wembanyama, you know, I don't know if that's it, but I have plenty of time to change my mind. It's only November. But I did watch that. I did not watch any NBA. I know the Wizards, they lost the night before to Houston, dropped to 2-7. So what do you have from the NBA for me?
Yeah, the Wizards are in action tonight against Victor Wembanyama right here on the Team 980. Tips off at 8. But if you have an opportunity, you should go back and watch just the late stages of the Warriors-Mavericks game. It was one of those iconic Steph performances. He was, I think he was 4-of-4 from the field in the final 3 minutes.
They played the Mavericks last night, right?
It was Klay's return to Golden State.
Yeah, so how did that go? I actually don't know the answer to this. I did see a couple of highlights when I was getting ready for the show here in my studio. Why are we playing with the NBA in-season tournament floor already?
Well, I think the in-season tournament has started already.
It has?
You remember, it's like Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh,
so it's,
right.
Yeah, if you're playing on a Tuesday or a Thursday, you're playing part of the NBA in-season tournament.
I know that when we finally got to it last year, it ended up, I think you and I both decided it was a little bit more interesting than we thought to begin with, but I don't know. I just think these things during football season just have very little hope of getting a ton of attention. But anyway, so first of all, was Clay, how was Clay received? I would imagine very warmly.
Very warmly. If I have this correct, they had, so Clay Thompson loves boats. I don't know if you are familiar with that. He's a big boat guy. One of the reasons he loved being in Golden State right by the water. So they had Captain Clay hats for all of those in attendance. Or I think they gave like 10,000 out or something like that. So it was a warm reception, and he played pretty well. I mean, he was 7 of 17, 6 of 12 from three. He had 22
points. Yeah, I'm
looking
at it right now. 6 of 12 from behind the arc. That's a big night.
That's a big night for Clay. And one of those, he did the Steph shimmy. Steph was the story of the game. He had 37 in 35 minutes, including that stretch down the fourth quarter where, like, Dallas was putting Luka on Steph. And I'm not a coach in the NBA, as you know. I do this job. I would not put Luka Doncic on Steph in the fourth quarter.
No, that would not be a real good matchup.
Not a great matchup. The problem is they don't really have anybody that can guard him. It was very apparent, and he went crazy. So he had 37, but he made history last night. He joined Michael Jordan and LeBron James. It's a pretty good graphic to be a part of, as the only three guys in NBA history to go for over 35 in back-to-back nights when you're over the age of 36. Pretty good.
Wow. A couple of things real quickly, because I didn't see the game and I really haven't seen the highlights. So Golden State right now has the best record in the West at 9-2. That is a surprise. This was not expected from the Warriors. I know it's only 11 games into an 82-game slate, but they're 9-2. They're off to a great start. I did see something recently, and that is that Buddy Hield's been playing very well, sort of as the Clay replacement. And then what was I going to say? I was going to say something about Curry. Oh no, I was going to say something about Doncic. Somebody sent me, one of our listeners sent me an article written, I forget who it was, about Doncic, and said the complaining from Doncic this year has reached an all-time level. That if we thought it was bad last year and during the postseason, it's been even worse this year, and that they can't get him to stop. They've been trying to in Dallas. They can't get him to stop. There have been multiple occasions where basically he's on the offensive end, you know, screaming and yelling and crying and whining as they're playing 5-on-4 on the other end, but they can't get through to him for whatever reason. It is serial. I think it was you who said last year, nobody commits to whining more than he does. He's a totally committed whiner. It's part of his whole thing. He's having a great season so far scoring-wise, but they're off to a slow start.
Yeah,
they're 5-6 after last night.
They're 5-6, and he's like the Draymond Green of complaining. Remember when Draymond was just getting technicals nonstop?
He's much worse.
Well, I'm talking about when Draymond was, like, getting tossed all the time for, like, stupid things. Like, he's, like, elbowing
dudes. Draymond was
dudes.
More demonstrative. Draymond was more, like you got a loose screw, dude. This guy is much more committed consistently to doing it throughout a game every night. Draymond would lose it on one call, and he'd be tossed because the reaction was over the top.
He'd go nuclear.
Doncic is so consistent with his constant whining, and then does it every night. Like, he does not take a night off from it. It's really off-putting to watch. And by the way, it's hurtful to the team.
It's very hurtful.
I know they made the NBA Finals. I get it.
Imagine if he just put that sort of effort he puts into complaining and just half of that effort into defense. They'd be unbeaten.
Yeah, he can't move his feet.
He can't defend at all. No.
When he does try to defend, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, to be honest with you. I'm just looking. Golden State and Phoenix. I mean, OKC is where people thought they would be, but Golden State wasn't predicted to be a playoff team. It's early. The story of the NBA is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They haven't lost. They're 12-0.
Yeah, they're 12-0. This is the hottest start since that 15-16 Warriors team that started 24-0.
Yeah.
Checking to see if the Cavs play the Wizards anytime soon so Alex Sarr can break that record.
By the way, I've got my NBA tab opened, and apparently Spoelstra last night in overtime against Detroit. Did you have this ready to go in the news?
I was going to talk about this, not so much for the actual timeout call, but for the viral meme of Jalen Rose's reaction to the timeout call, seeing flashbacks of the Final Four with Chris Webber. It's one of the funniest things that I've seen. I'm stunned.
Well, tell everybody what happened.
So Spoelstra called a timeout late in the game in overtime when they didn't have a timeout, which is like basketball 101. Coach, you got to know how many timeouts we have. If we have timeouts, and of all the guys to make the mistake, it was Eric Spoelstra, and it cost him a game.
I mean, one of the best coaches of the last, 15 plus years. And I know I've told this story again, but I'll just tell it real quickly for those that have never heard it. So Tommy and I were doing the show, and I was telling the story on a Monday after a game I had coached on a Sunday, in which we were, the team that I was coaching, we were up one at the free throw line with a second free throw, and the other team had no timeouts left. And so I wanted to, of course, instruct my player to miss the free throw on purpose, right? You don't want them to be able to throw the ball in bounds down the court and get a three-point shot off. Up one, up two, it's going to be a three-pointer. It doesn't matter. So I turned to the scorer's table and I said, how many timeouts do I have? I didn't have my assistant coach that day. Those of you who are youth coaches know, sometimes you got somebody helping you and sometimes you're solo. And when you're solo, you can't keep the book. So you rely on the scorer's table. And I said, how many timeouts do I have? And the person at the scorer's table, and she was, probably a high school girl. And she said, you have one left. And so I said, timeout. And I'm telling the kid at the free throw line, I'm like, can you just miss it? But you got to hit the rim. He said, yeah, I can do that, coach. No problem. And I explained to them why we're going to do this. And then I see the referees talking to the scorer's table. And they walk over and they say, coach, you didn't have any timeouts left. We're hitting you with a tech. And I said, well, I just asked if I had any timeouts. And she said that I had one. You guys heard her say, because it was a gym. It wasn't crowded. I said, how many timeouts? She said one. And he said, well, it's not her job. It's your job to keep your own book. And so I said, are you serious? You've got to be kidding me. They're like, nope. So long story short, they got free throws. We had another one. The game goes to overtime. And we lose in overtime. I told the story on the air. And as I was leaving the studio that day, Coach Thompson, who had the show after hours, was waiting for me in the bullpen as I walked out. And he looked at me and he said, let me get this straight. He goes, how many timeouts do you have? First he said, how old were these kids that you were coaching? And I said, they were 12 or 13 at the time. It was, it was like an eighth grade game, something like that, the seventh grade game, 12 or 13. And he said, and how many timeouts do they give you in a game? I said, I think it's four. And he said, you called all of your timeouts in a game that included 12 and 13-year-olds? He goes, what's wrong with you, boy? And he said, not only that, you wanted to call another one. And I'll never, ever forget that. And then he goes on the air with Doc and Brian, and they just, eviscerated me. It was very funny. But he also said something to me that I'll never, ever forget. He said, in the midst of a game, with young people in particular, less instruction is much better than more instruction. More instruction is for practices, less instruction in the games. And he was right. He was 100% right. I mean, all of us learned so much from Coach and being, lucky enough to be in the same building with him. But I will never forget when he just said, you called for all your timeouts and you wanted to call another one. Very funny. All right, what else do you have?
All right, so I guess people didn't get our applications, but John Krasinski named a 2024 Sexiest Man Alive. I bet you thought that when you watched The Office the first time, that in 12 years, this guy, Jim, is going to be the sexiest man.
Is this like the People magazine thing?
Yeah.
John Krasinski?
Yeah, Jim from The Office, Sexiest Man Alive.
Really? He's a decent-looking guy.
In big glow-up.
I don't... That is that a surprise? I don't follow this. Tell me, is that a surprising pick?
Yeah.
His wife is gorgeous. Emily Blunt's gorgeous.
I mean, he looks way better than he did in The Office.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know how the people sexiest man thing works. I was always of the belief like it was given to somebody who either had a lot of projects that did really well in the year or had something big coming up to promote, and it would like drive it, and you kind of like barter your way for it.
Does he have another one of those quiet movies coming out or whatever?
I don't think so. I know a guy who was fighting for it, apparently, was Travis Kelce. The representatives for Travis Kelce wanted him to win it because he's dating Taylor Swift, put him on the magazine, you know, up his brand a little bit, but it was instead John Krasinski. I guess we must be on the back page. I'll have to buy the People magazine.
Let me just say, I don't care if he was voted that or not. I like him a lot. I've seen him in interviews. He seems like total normal, down to earth. In fact, all of those people from the show that you and I loved so much all seemed like, you know, total normal people.
Well, not all of them. I mean, Creed is a Creed, I don't think, was acting.
Yeah, but he was, you know.
Outside of him, yes.
1960s.
But I don't think he was acting.
Yeah. But, you know, in terms of the main characters, you know, even Dwight in real life, I think, seems like, well, he's a little bit off, but whatever. Yeah, he's married to Emily Blunt, right?
He is, yeah. Yeah, they're married.
Yeah. She's lovely. All right, what else?
All right, how about the college football playoff rankings? The latest edition of the rankings unveiled. I'm going to read this to you as if it were the bracket, not the actual ranking, so there will be some adjustment here. But you got Oregon at number one, Texas at number two, BYU at three as winners of the Big 12, and then Miami at four as winners of the ACC. Then at five, you have Ohio State. Six is Penn State. Seven is Indiana, so they jumped up a little bit.
Wow.
Eight is Tennessee, who allegedly is going to be without Nico I this weekend against Georgia. Nine is Notre Dame.
He's not playing?
According to Chris Felica, the Bear, he said that Nico is not going to play.
So is that why the line was big?
That's why the line
has it gone up since then?
I haven't looked. I can pull it up now. I would imagine after he said that, especially as a gambler, that line has adjusted. Because it was 10.5 yesterday, right? It was a big line.
It's 10 right now.
Maybe it hasn't moved a lot. Maybe the books already
knew that. Who's Tennessee's backup quarterback? I don't even know. Has he played?
He hasn't seen the field a ton. Okay. So you got Notre Dame at 9, Bama 10, Ole Miss 11, and then Boise at 12 as members of the Group of Five, Heisman Group of Five champ. But in the actual rankings, Georgia was at 12 and Boise was at 13.
Yeah, but the Group of Five number one gets in.
Right, so they would occupy the 12 seed.
Ooh, and Georgia's on the outside of that.
Georgia and SMU, the first two teams out.
Well, they won't be next week because they're gonna hammer Tennessee.
They better.
And by the way, BYU might go down this week against Kansas.
you see Colorado in there next week then.
Colorado, in that game against Kansas in a week from Saturday won't be easy. So Oregon won. I mean, you know, I kind of forget this and I have to adjust here. But Oregon at one. And then you also had Ohio State. You had Penn State and Indiana. Four of the top seven seeds are Big Ten teams.
Well, for the top five, Ohio State technically ranked second, but they would fall to five in the
right.
brackets.
Right, so four of the top five are Big Ten teams. Man, that's a lot of love for the Big Ten. Tell me where SMU and Army are. I'm just curious. Where's SMU in particular?
SMU is at 14, so they're right behind Boise State. Army moved up a whopping one spot. They are 24.
I mean, do we think that SMU is going to run the table here in the regular season? They're going to be favored against BC, Virginia, and Cal, okay?
They should run the table.
So they have the one loss, which, by the way, was a three-point loss to BYU, who's number nine in the country and undefeated. And then they're going to play an ACC championship game. Yes, SMU is going to play in the ACC championship game against, I think, either Clemson or Miami.
Correct.
If they win, I mean, I think SMU is, I actually think they're the best team in the ACC.
I think there's a fair argument for it. They've had some close ones, so like they should run the table. I don't know that they will run the table, but
who have they? Other than the loss to BYU, who have they had some close calls against?
So they had a close one against Duke where they won by one.
That
was the one where you look at and say, "Woo!" Although Duke's played well
this year. They're 7-3, 7-2, something like that.
They are, and they have Malik Murphy, who was the backup last year at Texas and then left because Arch was staying. But they should. I mean, Virginia's actually been a bit surprising this year. They're not nearly as terrible.
Very well this year.
Yeah, they're not nearly as terrible as they have been in years past. It's just the ACC is so weird. I don't really trust anybody in the conference.
Well, right now, I have a feeling SMU ends up in the playoff in front of Miami. They hang a second loss on Miami. But here's a question for you. Who gets in, Clemson or Miami, as the other team in the ACC championship game against SMU? Because Clemson and Miami haven't played.
They haven't played. Well, Miami only has one loss. So I think one of the tiebreakers.
Clemson only has one loss in the conference.
In a conference. I think one of the tiebreakers would go to overall record where they would outlast them.
Okay.
Although right now.
I was thinking, is it possible that Miami runs the table, is not in the ACC title game, SMU beats Clemson, and now all of a sudden you've got two ACC teams as possibilities?
I don't know how accurate ESPN is in terms of how they list things as it relates to tiebreakers, but it is worth pointing out that Clemson is listed above Miami on the conference's standing. So maybe Clemson does have the tiebreaker there.
Well, if that's the case, it would be common opponents. And remember, Clemson lost to Louisville. Miami beat Louisville. Miami lost to Georgia Tech. Clemson
has not played Georgia Tech.
Okay. So that would be Miami as well.
Yeah, that would lift Miami. The only thing would be, I guess, just scores against other ACC teams. I don't know where that would fall.
That's down the pecking order of tie-breaking.
I would hope so, because that would benefit Clemson, because they were shellacking teams during the middle portion of their schedule where Miami was escaping teams.
So I guess right now, Boise, in terms of the group of five, it's got to be Boise, Army, and then that's it, right? It's going to be either one of those two teams.
Well, you have Tulane in there as well. I don't know how the committee views
Tulane
Washington.
Tulane plays at Navy this Saturday, right?
They do. I don't know how the committee views Washington State, they're 8-1 at 18.
Yeah.
So they're in that conversation as well.
When's the Army-Notre Dame game? Is it next weekend?
Next week. So Army's off this weekend. They get Notre Dame. If Army beats Notre Dame, they skyrocket up the rankings.
Yeah. Now, let me just say, this Tulane-Navy game is huge from this standpoint. If Navy beats Tulane on Saturday, then it's very likely Army and Navy will play in back-to-back weeks. They'll play in the AAC championship game, home field, who it would be, you know, probably at Army. And then they'd play their traditional scheduled game, which is the weekend after championship weekend.
Yeah.
Wherever the game is this year. I forget where it is.
It's here.
Is it Philly? Oh, it's here.
It's right here. Yeah.
Yeah, we knew that. Yeah. That would be pretty wild. And like, which of the two games? Obviously, the first one would be the most important. And imagine, Denton, this. Imagine this. Army beats Notre Dame. They're really good. I don't think they can beat Notre Dame, but I think they've got a better shot of hanging in there with Notre Dame than Navy did.
I do as well. I think their defense is better.
If they pulled that off, and they were now the leading contender of the group of five, and they played Navy and beat Navy in the AAC title game, or lost to Navy, but then got another chance to play another game, but after the playoff had already been set. I mean, they'd play that game, obviously, because it's a massive tradition game, but then they'd be gearing up, win or lose. Like, how would they play that game if they were already in the playoff?
I mean, they would give it their all, just because that's kind of like the tradition of the rivalry. But at that point, that would be their potentially 13th game of the regular season. You know, they
the
have
scenario
these...
that I'm painting is not necessarily realistic in terms of Army being in the playoff because they'd have to beat Notre Dame.
Right.
But the scenario that I'm giving everybody for back-to-back Army Navy games comes down to Navy and Tulane on Saturday in Annapolis. If Navy wins that game, Army and Navy are going to play back-to-back games against each other.
Yeah. That'd be pretty nuts.
Nuts. All right, what else?
All right, finally here, are you excited to see Mike Tyson in action on Friday?
No. Zero interest in watching this. Will not
zero.
Pay for it, will not watch it. I'm assuming it's pay-per-view, right?
No, it's on Netflix.
Oh, it's on Netflix?
Yeah.
What so time? No, I think I'm going to the Maryland Marquette game, so that's probably not going to be.
Well, the fight starts at 8. What time is Maryland Marquette?
8. Yeah, there's. I'm not watching.
I'm sure the main event. You know how boxing goes. The main event's not going on until at least 10:30, 11. Right. Maybe you can go to what's the famous bar in Maryland?
What'd you say?
What's the famous bar that the students go to in Maryland? In
College Park, Bentley's.
Yeah, Bentley's. You can throw it on the TV in Bentley's.
Yeah, I think I talked about this with Tommy on the podcast, and it's, thanks for bringing that up and reminding me that I do want to send my, condolences to the family of John Brown. John's owned Bentley's since the late 1970s. He's a legend in College Park. He's a legend when it comes to all of the athletic programs, men's basketball, men's football in particular. And I've known John for a long time, and he passed away last weekend, and he was just a nice man who had, he opened that place, back in the late 70s, and it became the legendary place. I mean, for those of us who are Terps, the VU was legendary. But the VU and Bentley's right next to each other on Route 1. And John was such a sweet guy, and I know a lot of people are really upset about it. I send my respects and rest in peace, John, because every interaction I ever had with John over the years was just, he's just a gentleman. So sad to lose him. All right, anything else?
No, that's all I got for you.
Okay. We'll do a quick what do you got when we come back. And then next hour, we've got some NFL talk, and we'll get back to Washington, Philadelphia as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.